Greetings in the Lord. Overcomers.ca. The New Jerusalem. Carrying on in the new creation part of this book. Chapter 38. Cephas, the Apostle Peter, the Gates of Hell. Scriptures. Now when Jesus went into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they answered, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you yourselves say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Then Jesus answered him, "Blessed, happy, fortunate, to be envied are you, Simon Bar-Jona, for flesh and blood, men, have not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, Greek, Petros, a large piece of rock. And on this rock, Greek, Petra, a huge rock like Gibraltar, I will build my church. And the gates of Hades, the powers of the infernal region, shall not overpower it or be strong to its detriment to hold out against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind, declare to be improper and unlawful, on earth must be what is already bound in heaven. And whatever you loose, declare unlawful, on earth must be what is already loosed in heaven." Isaiah chapter 22, verse 22. Then he sternly and strictly charged and warned the disciples to tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 to 20, Amplified Version. "Why look ye askance, ye high mountains, at the mountain which God hath desired for his abode? Yea, Jehovah will dwell in it forever. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands upon thousands. The Lord is among them, as in Sinai in the sanctuary. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led away captives. Thou hast received gifts among men, yea, among the rebellious also, that Jehovah God might dwell with them. Blessed be the Lord, who daily beareth our burden, even the God who is our salvation." Selah. "God is unto us a God of deliverances, and unto Jehovah the Lord belongeth escape from death." Psalm 68, verses 16 to 20, American Standard Version. "And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.' And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, 'This day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears.'" Luke chapter 4, verses 16 to 21. End scriptures. The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the revelation of his full glory and power will not be seen in this world until the full measure of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil has run its course. That tree, created originally in Eden, along with the other trees of the garden, must burst out in full measure. Part of the planned ordination of God for his overcoming company is for them to be patient until the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil is completed. Just as we long for the righteous full measure of the tree of life to fill our lives and this world, so too does the measure of the knowledge of good and evil need to fill this world and the lives within it. As I have said before, the cup of iniquity, self-will, is full. Iniquity is self-will. The expanse, therefore, of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil would also be full. And the pressures brought upon this creation because of the measure of evil from the branches of that tree would now also be brought to the full. The increase we see in the earth of evil is part of the process of this fully ripened fruit of the fall of Adam and the cursing of creation coming to the full. God has now moved in motion of spirit to ready creation for his judgment. We have entered the time wherein we will see the Spirit of the Lord move in this creation in a vast display of wrath and of judgment. The motion of God's Spirit in the earth will be fearsome to behold if one is not in corrective alignment with the will of God in all things. This is indeed the time of great trouble because of the fully grown fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. However, this needs to be understood as to what God is doing. He is reversing the order of things and turning upside down all that the curse brought to this creation. Reading from Isaiah chapter 24, verses 16 to 23 in reference to that, from the uttermost parts of the earth have we heard songs, even glory to the righteous. But I said, my leanness, woe unto me. The treacherous dealers have dealt treacherously. Yea, the treacherous dealers have dealt very treacherously. Fear and the pit and the snare are upon thee, O inhabitant of the earth. And it shall come to pass that he who fleeth from the noise of the fear shall fall into the pit, and he that cometh up out of the midst of the pit shall be taken in the snare. For the windows from on high are open, and the foundations of the earth do shake. The earth is utterly broken down. The earth is clean dissolved. The earth is moved exceedingly. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall be removed like a cottage. And the transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not rise again. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall punish the host of the high ones that are on high, and the kings of the earth upon the earth, and they shall be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in the pit, and shall be shut up in the prison, and after many days shall they be visited. Then the moon shall be confounded, and the sun ashamed, when the Lord of hosts shall reign in Mount Zion, and in Jerusalem, and before his ancients gloriously. Isaiah 24, verses 16 to 23, as I said. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness, all the foundations of the earth are out of course. Psalm 82, verse 5. The gates of hell need to be defined, and in our day, it is quite easy to define them. There are three names for hell, but it is my determination that the hell that Christ said he would oppose and overtake would be those in the Valley of Hinnom, H-I-N-N-O-M, or rather, Gehenna, G-E-H-E-N-N-A. The valley or land of those who are lost. I see hell in two places when it comes to those who would overcome. For the purpose of this writing is to build up the faith of the overcomer so they may conquer hell, Gehenna, the Valley of Hinnom. Hell occurs first in your own heart. For your heart, dear overcomer, is desperately wicked and untamable, and is filled with the full measure of iniquity. Your heart is deceitful above all things, and if you follow your heart in this hour, you will fall into the ditch of despair and destitution. Jeremiah 17:9, Amplified Version says, "The heart is deceitful above all things, and it is exceedingly perverse and corrupt and severely, mortally sick. Who can know it? Perceive, understand, be acquainted with his own heart and mind." Matthew chapter 13, verses 15 to 17, Amplified Version. "For this nation's heart has grown gross, fat, and dull, and their ears heavy and difficult of hearing, and their eyes they have tightly closed, lest they see and perceive with their eyes, and hear and comprehend the sense with their ears, and grasp and understand with their heart, and turn, and I should heal them." Isaiah 6, verses 9 and 10. "But blessed, happy, fortunate, and to be envied are your eyes, because they do see, and your ears, because they do hear. Truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous men, men who were upright and in right standing with God, yearned to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." For from within, that is, out of the hearts of men, come base and wicked thoughts, sexual immorality, stealing, murder, adultery, coveting, a greedy desire to have more wealth, dangerous and destructive wickedness, deceit, unrestrained, indecent conduct, an evil eye, envy, slander, evil speaking, malicious misrepresentation, abusiveness, pride, the sin of an uplifted heart against God and man, foolishness, folly, lack of sense, reckless, thoughtlessness. All these evil purposes and desires come from within, and they make the man unclean and render him unhallowed. Mark chapter 7, verses 21 to 23, Amplified Version. But you did not so learn Christ. Assuming that you have really heard him and been taught by him, as all truth is in Jesus, embodied and personified in him, strip yourselves of your former nature. Put off and discard your old, unrenewed self, which characterized your previous manner of life and becomes corrupt through lusts and desires that spring from delusions. And be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude, and put on the new nature, the regenerate self, created in God's image, Godlike, in true righteousness and holiness. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 20 to 24, Amplified Version. The Apostle Peter was a perfect example of this duality. Your heart, at the same time, has a duality which reveals the gates of hell and the abiding place of the Lord in the Holy of Holies. For at the very same time, dear overcomer, your heart houses in a holy temple the Lord Jesus Christ in spirit. Both abide in you. It is the carnal part of your heart that you are overcoming. Hell, Gehenna, the Valley of Hinnom, also abides in every area of the earth, amongst the living, and in every realm of the dead, amongst those who died without the knowledge of salvation. Hell is an extension of that which Adam took into his mouth in the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, and the fruit that Adam partook of gave the world the carnal mind. For that fruit was a fruit of knowledge, a fruit of understanding apart from the living God, a decision which Adam made, which initiated this mystery. Upon the faith and the rock of the Apostle Peter, the lowest course of stones making up the initial layer of the New Jerusalem is the building Christ called his church. And in the very same sentence, he exclaims that the gates of hell shall not prevail or be able to stand before this church. Into the hell of this present world, this city shall descend and settle right upon the very dust of it, the same dust that the serpent was to eat as a part of the curse. It is in this dust, humanity, in this world, that the New Jerusalem shall descend and settle upon. Christ is the builder of it, each man taking heed as to how they add their bit of mortar and stonework, their calling and ministry. Each one who is called to this is part of this glorious house called the Church of the Living Christ. He who is holy and glorious and full of the anointed oil of gladness. And as overcomers in this church, we have one forward motion to make. And each step any overcomer takes is a step that crashes down the gates of hell to set the captive free. Captivity in their own heart, as well as in all they who dwell in the earth under the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. When the New Jerusalem is seen in its descent and in its outray of light and glory, it will be seen as a city whose first purpose is to destroy the gates of hell, to make way for all mankind and creation to enter. For it is in this city that we find the tree of life in the midst of the paradise of God. What a calling, dear reader! So then, the overcomer, as part of the triumphant entry of Christ into the world of men, will be seen for who they are, as those who overcame hell in their own hearts first. Then, in patience and love, they set the rest of mankind free into their very liberty. A work done not by money or means of carnal denominations, but a motion of God's Spirit through them. or if you will, a fruitful bough on the branch bearing fruit eternal from the tree of life in the midst of their souls. The overcoming company will be the extension of the arm of the Lord in this world to set all captives free. As we storm hell and crash down the gates, we follow the faith of those who have gone before, such as Deborah and Barak and Samson, who carried the gates of Gaza. Gaza meaning a strong goat, rebellion, distant from the Lord. Samson carried those gates and discomfited that city. Do you think that you are in bondage to this world and the Spirit of the Lord is yet a mystery to you and you cannot perceive the motion of His Spirit in your life? Think again. The time you are in, dear overcomer, is the separation of flesh from spirit in your heart. Let me read that one sentence again and take this in. The time you are in, dear overcomer, is the separation of flesh from spirit in your heart. The revelation in you of Christ, the King of Kings, and the gates of hell. In all areas of your heart, this revelation is being made known to your understanding, so that you will arise with the one predominant hope of His soon appearing. For when Christ appears in you, the duality of your heart will end forever, and you will be a fruitful bough of the tree of life in the midst of the millennium. As you, dear reader of this paper, stuck in the nitty-gritty of everyday life, paying bills, laboring for your daily bread by the sweat of your brow, it is in that very nitty-gritty of life that the Lord is drawing in your heart the distinction between the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life, not by loud clanging cymbals or the noise of great wars, but by daily living out your life with the quiet, confident hope that Christ will appear in you and glorify you and finish in you the full measure of your faith, that your life will come to a successful conclusion at the revelation of His person within you, that you, as a mere image of Jesus, will emerge out of the place of confinement and into the glorious light of liberty amongst those who are known as the army of the Lord. So then, to those in bondage to the flesh, the bondage of addiction, the bondage of war and of self-preservation, to those shall you go, to those shall the gates of hell be banished, and the soul held captive shall be gloriously set free. Marching forward shall this liberated company of overcomers, declaring from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, "My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." Isaiah 46:10. Such is the honor of those who storm the gates of hell. Not one soul in captivity will be out of the reach of the overcomer. Not one measure of bondage shall remain unbroken by the reach of their hand. The overcomer in this time of the revelation of Christ will discomfit everything that holds this creation under the curse of the fall, and not one soul shall perish out of this magnificent display of the life of Christ. The world, filled now with the mystery of iniquity, will find total bewilderment when that mystery suddenly has no more power. For this cup will now be judged, and the answer of judgment will be the open display of the army of the Lord, the army of love. This army will bring to a conclusion world history as we know it, and will finally lay to the roots of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil the battle axe of God Almighty, even the great I Am That I Am, who will end this perdition and will give to creation the new world wherein dwells righteousness. This is about to be a tumultuous time, a grievous time for those who love evil and darkness. But it will be a time wherein all unrighteousness will be ended, and the kingdom of Christ and his overcomers will emerge in complete victory. Such is your part, dear reader. This is the promise of God even unto you. To be continued, Kenneth B. Vischer.